So I'm reading from Colossians chapter 1, at verse 15. This is talking about Jesus, the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, that's through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning is in Genesis chapter 1 and into chapter 2. So the very first book of the Bible, very first page of that first book. There isn't actually a number, page number on the top, but you'll get to the page that has Genesis written at the top. It's quite a hard passage to follow and quite a hard passage to read because it's got a lot of repeated phrases. So perhaps it'll help us concentrate. As you're reading and listening, spot the phrases that are repeated. Okay, what comes up again and again? They're significant for our understanding. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, perhaps a very famous passage, but probably not well known, even though it's famous. What were some of the repetitions? What did you hear? "And God said." Well, God to start with. God, and then the phrase, "And God said." What else came up again and again? "Let it be," or "let there be." Yes, so God spoke, and what he said was, "Let there be." Different things. "And it was so." Yeah, and those repetitions say a lot already, don't they? God said, "Let it be," and it was so. When God says something, it happens. Yeah, there's no question about it. Anything else? Evening and morning, that regular pattern, and that's a very significant part of this this passage. There's a very regular pattern through it. And then the statement God keeps making, "It is good." Well, God saw and God said it was good. So those are repeated phrases as well. Well, this is the beginning. The beginning of the Bible. And the Bible, believers understand, is God speaking to us. The beginning of the Bible is the beginning for us of what God is like. It is the beginning for us to know about ourselves as humans and about the universe in which God has put us. My plan is that we will spend this week and the next 2 weeks in the first three chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the beginning. This has got basic ideas that we need to keep hearing. It's part of the Bible that we come back to more often than others. The truth here about God and about ourselves and about the world is truth that the devil wants to deny and the world wants to deny and our sinful desires want to deny. So we need to keep hearing it. The poem here at the beginning of the Bible tells us God made everything and gives everything its place. I wanted to show this visually because it comes across very well, and just for time's sake, I'm going to use a children's illustration that we've got here, just rather than creating something on the screen there. So what does God make on day one? Tell me. Yeah, makes light and separates the light from the darkness. Made the light, separates the light from the darkness. What does he make on day two? Yes, he makes the water, doesn't he? And doesn't he separate it? Yes, he puts the water, separates the water below from the water above with a vault. And what's the vault called? The sky. Yeah, we'd call it sky. So there's water in the clouds, then there's the sky, then there's the sea below. What does he do on day three? What does he make? He creates land by pushing the sea to one side, and on the land there is vegetation. So those are the first 3 days. In three stages, God has sort of made his universe, the light, the sky, the seas, dry ground and plants. And in the next 3 days, God builds on that beginning. So what does he do on day four? You might have to look at it. I'm not expecting you to remember. What happened on day four? What did God do on day four? Yeah, the sun, the moon, and the stars. So the sun for the daytime, the moon and the stars for the night. What did he do on day five? No, he didn't make all the animals. You need to be reading the Bible. The answer's in the Bible. What did he do on day five? The birds and the fish. So the sea animals and the sky animals. Do you notice the pattern? What happens on day six? Animals and what particular animal? Us, humans. They're very, sort of very, very long description. Okay? So you can see days one, you see the pattern there? Days one, two, and three. God creates the spaces, separates light and dark, separates waters, separates land from water. And then days four, five, six, he puts things in those spaces. Puts the lights in the heavens, puts the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, animals and humans on the land. It's very organized. It's not random and accidental. And he put things in their places. He's made everything. He's made it organized. There you go. At the top there it says, God made everything and gives everything its place. He separates things out into order and then puts things in their place. So you don't find fish living in trees, do you? You don't find elephants in the sky except in Disney films when they can fly. Birds are for the air, fish are for the water. I think this is what we need for living. In our homes, where is the cooker? You don't keep the cooker in the bedroom. Where is the bed? Not in the garden. Where do you keep your clothes? Not on the kitchen surfaces. When you come to a house that's like that, you know there's someone who's profoundly disturbed. They're not able to live correctly, are they? Because it's so disordered. And God has made this world ordered so that we can live in it. This is the first chapter of the Bible, the beginning of everything. It's a poem, a beautiful, clear poem. Let me show you some of the other things that are there. The very first four words. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Now, the Western people, Western culture, want the Bible to tell us how God made what there is. But this chapter tells us who made it and why. Who made everything there is and why, for what purpose. So if you were to come into a kitchen and see the kettle boiling, and you were to say, why is the kettle boiling? And the person who is in the kitchen says, well, because there's electricity going through the element at the bottom, and that's heating up the water, and the water's getting so hot that some of it's turning into gas and that's making bubbles. That's why it's boiling. That's not the answer you're looking for, is it? Don't want to know that. Why is the kettle boiling? I'm making a cup of tea. Great. Can I have one? Yeah? That's what that question is about. And this is the answer that this part of the Bible is giving us. It's not explaining the maths of it, the physics or the science of it. It's telling us why is this like this and who's behind it. Who made the universe and what for? Can we have the next image? God gives everything its purpose. So who made it and why? The atheist... Next, the atheist says, no one made it. There is no God. There's no one behind the universe. It just is there. And why have they made it? Well, there isn't a purpose or a reason. It's just there. We can find out about the things in the world, and there are astonishing programs on the TV, aren't there? You can see, looking at the way the world is and the way animals and fish are. It's fantastic. But no, none of those investigations can tell us why it's here. They can just describe it. It just is. Now, there are other two people who believe that there are many spirits or many gods. And this is probably the most common way of thinking in the world. It's not as common in the West, but it's the most common around the world, that we live in a universe, there are many spirit beings or many gods. And when something happens in my life, the question is, who's behind that? And people are thinking, who is behind this problem, or why are things going well? Who is behind things going well? And I can't find out. Why is it happening? Maybe an enemy, maybe a neighbor has paid a witch doctor to manipulate spirits. And that's why this is happening in my life. You see, those are answers to the who and the why question in that setting. What does the Bible say? Who? One God. Why is it here? Well, it's according to his plan that we're going to find out. But it's here because he's put it in an order. It's organized, it's not chaotic, things have got their place, and they've got their purpose, and we read that through the Bible. So three very different ways of looking at the universe we're in, answering those questions. Who is behind it, and why is it like it is? The Bible says there is one God. He made everything. That gives us great freedom. We are free from the fear of spirits or other gods. We can trust the one living God. He is in charge. And he is not, no one can manipulate him by magic, by money, or by music. Because in the beginning, God, it's all from him. Christians believe that the Bible says this is true, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus made everything. He made everything. Nothing made God. So you might meet people from time to time who will say to you, well, I'm happy for people who believe in God, if it suits them. Someone told me that recently. Well, yeah. He's there whether it suits us or not. We're only here because it suits him. It's the wrong way of thinking about God the Creator. It's not simply that he's there if it suits us. We're here because it suits him. So next image, next line please, Ernie Ola. God made everything, gives everything its place, gives everything its purpose. God is in control everywhere, all the time. Let's look down to day 4, which is at the bottom of that first page, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. These lights would tell the people of Israel the times for their sacred festivals. Those festivals kept reminding them of God. And later in the history of humanity, those festivals would be the time at which the Son of Man, Jesus, died on the cross and was raised again, and then sent the Holy Spirit at those festivals that are timed by the heavens. Verse 15, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, and it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And this is the amazing throwaway line. He also made the stars. He also made the stars. Now, some people worship the sun and the stars, but we should worship the one who made the sun and the stars. Other people follow astrology. So that's the belief that events in my life and your life are controlled by the stars. But God didn't put the stars in the sky to control us. He put them as markers to tell us the time, like reminders on your phone. The sun governs the day, the moon and stars govern the night. We sang, I know we've sung several songs, but it might feel a long time ago, but our first song, sun and moon bow down before him, dwellers all in time and space. The sun and moon do not rule over time. They're just the clocks. They're just the signals. for different times. God is in charge of everywhere and all time. So maybe you know someone at work or at school or even your home who thinks that the stars affect their lives. Pray for them. You can help them to be free from that. You can seek an opportunity to tell them about the God who made the stars and has given them their life. Very different way of understanding our lives. All of life is in his presence. Everywhere there is light, everywhere there is not light. This God is very great. We should honor him, respect him, and fear him. He's not afraid of us. He's not harmed by us. He's not at risk from us or from anything in the universe. The great sea creatures of the deep that people are frightened of, he made them. So we should, as we've sung to each other, every day is a good day to read, to pray, to sing, to speak of Jesus, to love. All of our lives need to be honoring the God of all the world, not just a Sunday God. So he is to be God over our every day and every place we go. He's to be God over our dealings with our money. He's to be God over our conversations in home and on the phone. He's created language, and he intends us to use language for good. He's to be God over our most secret thoughts and actions. Nothing is hidden from him. When you make choices, what to buy, what to watch, what message to send on your phone, this is all in front of God. He deserves our honor, our fear, our respect, and our obedience. The end of chapter 1. God made humans. God made humans special. Do you want to turn over the page to page 4? The beginning of the Bible, the 6 days of God creating things, the final of that, if you like, is God creating humans. Who are we? Now, in the West, because there's been so much rejection of teaching about God, people think we have to discover our identity or make up our identity. But God has given us our identity. I have a purpose, I have a reason from God. God had an intention when he made us as humans. Just like many items we see, we have homes. People don't, well, except the very rich, they don't build homes they never live in. They don't have cars that they never use for transport. We have phones for communicating. They have a reason. We're humans, we have a reason, and that reason comes from God. So my identity is not first and foremost from my family. It's not from my nation. It's not something I have to discover by finding my feelings. Who I am is not dependent on my online personality or my online presence or the goals I set for myself and I achieve. That doesn't make me who I am. I am truly myself when I relate to the God of the universe who has made me. I am truly myself when I live as a human in relationship to the God who made me and gives me life. That is great freedom. Our world is in slavery, terrible slavery, isn't it? All around us, people enslaved to this fear, this urgency, desperation that they've got to become something or achieve something or be recognized. And this is saying that's a dead end. But it does say as well that all people have some connection with God. All people are made by God. So it says in verse 27, so God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. All people are made in the image of God. and have some value. And again, that's not how our world works. So children who are still in the womb are in danger in this society, in danger of abortion, which will kill the unborn child. Parliament is considering a law to allow people to commit suicide because people who are fearful that they're losing control over their lives. So this suggestion that we can have control, which is false, but people who claim they're going to lose a certain amount of control or are fearful of that are being allowed to give their lives up. People are not treated as we should be, as valuable. Another confusion in our society is about sexuality. An important part of human identity, the Bible says here, is male and female. I don't know if you remember, we don't have time, but when God told the creatures to reproduce, that was just an instruction. Humans, he didn't say there are male and female birds, male and female fish, male and female animals, didn't say that. But when it comes to humans, this is part of who we are. He made them and he made them male and female. That is part of our identity. Now, our culture says male or female depends on what color you like, or what games you play, or how you argue and think. But male or female is given to us in our bodies when we're in our mother's womb. It's given to us by God. It's an important part of being human. Last point. Humans are not actually the end of the story. We've got these 6 days, light and dark, water above, water below, land and plants, the lights to fill the light and dark, the birds and the fish to fill the sky and the sea, the animals and the humans on the land. But actually there's a seventh day, because this is where it's all heading to. And I've just put a shiny purple image there to represent the rule of a king. Because this is where God's purpose comes about. It's on the final day in chapter 2. Let me read that to you again. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. It's a very different sounding day from the other days. There's no "and God said," there's no "and God saw," and there's no evening and morning, because actually this day carries on. Later in the Bible it says this is a day that doesn't end, this is the day that carries on. And this is what God has made it for. It's not that the universe is all about humans as the last part. It's all about God resting and enjoying his creation in relationship with humans and with the other things he's made. So this is the direction for creation. Remember the illustration, you go into the kitchen and the kettle's on, what's it for? Life is for being in relationship with God. That's what he's created it for. When humans messed up the world, God gave the Sabbath command, which was one day in seven, to be a rest day. But it was only meant to be a symbol of the future life with God. All of history is heading towards that future. So parents, please teach your children the purpose of their life is not just to get good qualifications. Children, work hard at your studies, but that is not who you are as a human being. Yeah, the purpose is not purely to get a good qualification, not purely to get prosperous. Our purpose is to be in relationship with God who created us. And the New Testament tells us Jesus came in order that we might have rest with God. A very famous quote, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's not talking about having a break. He's talking about this final goal of the creation. Now, I've said a lot of things there on the board. I hope you can see that they've come from the passage. I hope we'll have some good times in growth groups this week looking at those passages, that passage again, and considering it. God made everything and gives everything its place. God gives everything its purpose. God is in control everywhere, all the time. God made us humans special, and God made us to live with him. So those just utterly change the way you live your life when you accept them and see some of the implications. Let's have a pause to think. Is there any particular lessons that you want to take away with you? Think about that, and I will lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, who made the heavens and spread them out, who stretches out the earth and gives life to everything on it, breath to its people, who created things with your purpose, with your goal in mind. It is so refreshing, Father, to read about you in this part of the Bible and to see ourselves in the light of what you say, rather than in the light of how our world thinks. We pray that all of us in this room would grow in appreciation, in thankfulness, that this is true. We pray, please, that we would be clear and bold to tell others so that they could be set free from the fear and the confusion and the lies and the futility of following other ways of living. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.